This year, give a gift that goes far beyond the moment. An Invest 529 account. Whether it's a child, grandchild, or someone just starting out, you're helping them save for education that could open doors for a lifetime. Invest 529 is a tax-advantaged way to save for college, trade school, or even apprenticeship programs. It's flexible, easy to start, and you can contribute any amount, big or small. You can even invite your friends and family to join in, making it a meaningful group gift. Each contribution helps build a brighter future, one deposit at a time. And because the money can grow tax-free, it's a gift that really builds value over time. So instead of giving something that gets used up or set aside, give the gift that can change a life. Start an Invest 529 account today. Go to invest529.com to get started.
On radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers, this is Invest Talk. Independent thinking, shared success. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to Invest Talk. This is our Monday, November 17th, 2025 edition of Invest Talk. Appreciate you all tuning in for this hour, and we're excited. Excited to answer your finance and investment questions and really dig into whatever's on your mind, as well as what's happening in the market today. So that's what this hour is dedicated to you, your questions, your thoughts, your concerns. And, you know, we'll bring topics to the table that we think are important, but ultimately it's what it's about. It's about what's on your mind. So don't hesitate to give us a call at 888-99-CHART. But here's a heads up for you. Coming up on December 9th, we will be hosting a new Invest Talk Wealth webinar. Luke and I will be providing the important money-saving information you'll need to manage your taxable income as we head into the end of the year. The webinar is free, but you do need to pre-register over at investtalk.com. We'll have more details to share soon. Now, in just a bit, we'll talk about today's market performance and run down the show topics for the hour. But as usual, we'll tackle this first caller question now.
Hello, Invest Talk. This is Mike from Texas. Just had a question about Tyson Foods, ticker TSN. Curious on what you thought of the company overall, and just kind of as a long-term hold. Look forward to hearing your answer on the podcast. Appreciate everything you guys do.
We're looking at Tyson Foods, TSN is the symbol. And this is an interesting one. It's in the frozen food business, or the poultry business. I was going to say the meat business, because they do produce pork and beef as well as chicken. And so it's earned $4.32 next year on a $53 stock. So you'd say, okay, that looks like a low teen multiple, pretty cheap, right? The problem is that their margins continue to come down. Their operating margins peaked out at around 11% in 2021. Even if you go pre-pandemic, when margins were in 2019, early 2020, kind of in the 6-7% range. Now they're 3. So their operating margins just continue to be hurt. Return equity only 3%. Way too low, below their cost of capital. And then you look at their debt. They do have about $10 billion in debt on their balance sheet. So the direction of the business is just not looking great, to be honest with you. And there's no real economic moat here. There's no real competitive advantage that I'm seeing. And obviously, it's not showing up in the profitability metrics either. So I just don't see any exciting reason to buy into it. Their payout ratio is over 100%. It's 111%. So they're paying out more in dividends than they are than they receive in net profits. So that's an issue. So, and then you look at the chart. The chart is just in a downtrend. Relative strength is only 26th. And That's over the last year. So it's in nearly the bottom quartile in performance, and it's just in a steady downtrend. So I see no reason to commit capital to a name like this. I think you're looking at the dividend. You're looking at what looks like a low multiple for its from its earnings. And I'm just not seeing that. I'm not seeing a picture that's turning around, especially when you look at the chart, which is making lower highs and lower lows. So certainly one to watch. Maybe they turn it around. They get margins starting to head back towards 2019 levels. If that's the case, then I start thinking about it. But until then, I'm passing on Tyson Foods. TSN is the symbol. Now, we have a lot of ground to cover over the next 45 minutes. And our main focus point is how to not outlive your nest egg. And we'll talk about practical ways to stretch your retirement dollars, such as adjusting withdrawals, delaying Social Security, integrating annuities, and managing market risk. So we'll look at that. We have other topics on the docket as well. One I really want to get to is stock-based compensation. On the heels of the trillion-dollar pay package for Elon Musk from Tesla shareholders, we're going to talk about how that's real money. It doesn't seem like real money, but it is, and we'll talk about why. In addition, we'll go over the infrastructure story around AI and why it's important to understand that when this AI bubble bursts, there will be infrastructure plays that will persist in different ways, in different forms, some more attractive than others, but certainly something to consider. And then lastly, we're going to talk about social media. It's now starting to become a bit cooler to not be on social media, to not have as many followers, to not be an influencer. What does that mean for those businesses? We'll talk about that. And we have voice bank calls. One is on small cap stocks, and the other is on the Vanguard Total Stock Market Index Fund, VTI. We also have some questions that came in via the YouTube channel. And of course, I welcome your finance and investment questions right now, live or after hours. It does not matter. Give us a call, 888-99-CHART. Now we're moving into a quick break, and it's very likely that you'll be making several important investment decisions between here and the fourth quarter. Before you do, I recommend that you look at our new comprehensive 2025 Q4 Economic and Market Outlook Report. It is a free read, but you do have to download it over on investtalk.com. And my phone lines are open, waiting for you at 888-99-CHART.
The prosperous future you envision for yourself and your family will not happen without strategic planning and definitive action.
Let's go to Brian in San Mateo, looking at Roku.
And I wanted your take on the technical picture.
For the unprepared investor, market volatility around the world demonstrates risk, but opportunities wait for no one. And now may be the best time in years to invest wisely, to invest strategically.
What I would do is keep saving and look for other opportunities.
But how can you decide what sectors to avoid, which stocks to buy, and what might be the best price point?
I'm new to investing, and my friend Wesley recommended your podcast a year ago.
The next decisive step on your path to financial freedom begins with a Spotify search for Invest Talk. Listen live or download the free podcast.
In the early days, InvestTalk was Jerry Klein and Steve Peasley. Now the torch has been passed and a new generation of hosts is on the job. Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero. So when you've got finance and investment questions, don't forget to call InvestTalk. 888-99-CHART.
Now let's go take a look at the market today. It was a decidedly negative day overall. You had the NASDAQ down nearly 1%. You had S&P also down nearly 1%. And really the weakness, though, was in mid and small cap stocks. Small cap value down over 2% on the day. And you had, outside of Google, which had a nice boost from what looks like Warren Buffett buying shares of Google recently. Besides that, most other of the Mag 7 names were down. Apple down nearly 2%. Same with NVIDIA. Amazon down about 1%. Tesla actually eked out a gain of a little over 1%. But you had some really rough days in the finance space. A BLK. That's BlackRock. Yep. I always get BLK and BX mixed up. But yep, that down over 3%. American Express over 4%. Morgan Stanley down 2.6. So it was a pretty negative day across the board. We have the big earnings from NVIDIA later this week on Wednesday, but it's Wednesday after the bell. But we do have a lot of retailers coming out with earnings, from Walmart to Target, et cetera. Those names will really tell us a lot about what's happening with the consumer. Treasuries were a bit stronger. Yields were down about 1 to 2 basis points across the curve. Dollar index up 0.3%. Gold finished down about 0.5%. Bitcoin futures down 2.4%, below 92,000 at today's low. WTI settled down about 0.3% on the day. And as I've been saying, that the weakness in Bitcoin is a canary in the coal mine, that, hey, the liquidity dynamics in the markets are starting to become more challenging. And you see this in the money markets, et cetera, a lot of the cash markets, lending markets between banks, SOFR spreads, things like that have been widening. And that is indication that, you know, once again, liquidity is drying up to a decent degree. You had the Empire State Manufacturing Index came at 18.7. Consensus was positive 6. So pretty nice beat there. The highest level since November of last year. And new orders increased month over month to 15.9%. So Empire State, right? New York, doing a bit better. And that was really the big economic news on the day. President Trump signed an executive order lifting reciprocal tariffs on a lot of ag products, beef, coffee, bananas, orange juice. So clearly backtracking on some of the early tariff announcements this year, and really starting to hit on affordability. I think this is in response to the midterms not going his way, or at least the Republicans' way. And he's trying to kind of bring inflation down a little bit. And we'll see if it works. But ultimately, the market so far not really reacting much to that. It remains an environment where inflation is elevated and the labor market is struggling. And like I said, liquidity is struggling as well. And so when that happens, you have markets like Bitcoin starting to struggle. Now let's answer a YouTube comment question. And Rowdy says, what do you think of FLTR instead of FSGOV or a money market mutual fund? Let's take a look at FLTR. This is the VanEck IG floating rate ETF. All right. I like this question. So it's probably looking at 4.85% yield, depending on if you're using SEC yield, yield or trailing 12 month. SEC yield is probably more accurate. So about 4.8%, which you're getting versus an SGOV, which that's what we kind of use for our money market like investments. That's very, very short term treasury. That's right around 4% now, SEC yield. So you're getting about an 80 basis point increase. Problem is that when you go by anything floating rate, not only are you subject to rates moving and the Fed's cutting rates, so that's not helping you there, but also most of the floating rate issues, they tend to be lower investment or lower grade. Now, the positive here is looks like they're sticking to only investment grade credits. That's a positive. So they're, yes, because it's the IG, excuse me, it's the IEG floating rate ETF. So you are getting better credits there. But that the problem is that if credit spreads widen out, yeah, they don't widen out as much on the longer or the higher quality credits as they do the shorter, the lower credits. but they will widen out. Okay. And so that is a risk that you are exposing yourself to. Now, you might be okay with that. And if you are, great. But I like it a bit better than just a normal floating rate ETF because it does have those higher quality credits in there. So know that you're taking on some risk and that rates dropping isn't going to help you. It's actually going to probably hurt you in yield. And rate those yields will come down faster in these type of names than they will in like an SGF. So I still think it's relatively low risk. For 80 basis points, I don't hate it, but know that you are taking more risk. 88.99 chart, 88.992-4278. So you get through and ask your question on today's show. But we're moving into a quick break. But still to come, we'll get to my focus point and, of course, more answers to your questions. So I encourage you to call right now on Invest Talk at 88.99 chart.
InvestTalk is ready 24/7 for your finance and investment questions.
My five-year-old son and I listen to your podcast every night, so thank you very much for putting it on.
Justin Klein is here and ready to tackle your questions.
Is it a good idea to sell your losses in a Roth IRA and just use whatever you have left to reinvest into better stocks?
Wondering what you thought about this REIT, if it would be a good time to get in.
I wanted to pick your brain about Apple. What did you think about their earnings call? Is this a good time to add to my position?
Don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Get ready for an all-new InvestTalk Wealth Webinar. Year-end tax toolkit, RMD planning, tax laws harvesting, and deferral strategies. It's all happening online and free of charge. The new Wealth Webinar, Tuesday, December 9th from 11 a.m. to 12 noon Pacific Time. Pre-register now at investtalk.com.
Now, our main focus point on today's Invest Talk is about how not to outlive your nest egg. And many Americans are worried that they will live longer than their savings. That's natural. But most people think it's because of bad investments when that happens. But the reality is it has to do with bad timing, inflexible spending, and most of all, poor planning around income streams. Now, most people think 65, that's when you retire. Maybe if you retire early, maybe you retire around 60. Maybe you want to work later, retire around 70. But everybody's different. So don't just pick an age and stop working. But you also need to have a plan. And that plan should be based on each individual's desired spending needs. And then what their savings is today and what their ideal investing strategy is, right? What their risk tolerance level is. And you find those baselines and then you can adjust, right? Work a little longer, invest a little more aggressively or more conservatively, adjust spending habits, etc. So what do you have to think about? What are the variables? Number one, think about time horizon. The economy is going to, and the markets are going to fluctuate. That's natural. You're not going to go through 20, 30 years of retirement and economies and markets will be smooth sailing. That is for certain. So you need to have different buckets, different risk levels in your investments, and you need to have a good amount in very safe assets, cash, CDs, short-term bonds, etc. Usually about 2 years, maybe three, because if the market goes down, you can start pulling money from that, and you want to be flexible, right? Times are good. You need cash, you probably want to trim your equity portfolio and vice versa. So being flexible in where you take your money is important as well. Then track your expenses. This is probably the biggest mistake most people make is they just assume, spend roughly this much. Well, they don't take the time to actually track it. And then you have to adjust it for what you want to do in retirement. Are you going to travel more? Are you going to take up expensive hobbies? What about your healthcare costs, which typically go up as you age? All those are factors. And then keep your spending dynamic. Don't think that it should be static. If you are kind of on the edge, knowing that if something really bad happens, well, your retirement plan could be upended. Well, it means you want to have flexibility. You take your trips when times are good, market's up, everything's feeling comfortable, and be willing to scale back when not. And then lastly, Social Security. A lot of people worried about it. And yes, the trust fund will run out sometime in 2030s, excuse me. But we know how politicians are. They will likely adjust to kind of kick the can down the road. Do things like smaller cost of living adjustments, higher taxes, later eligibility. But then if benefits aren't going away, or even mostly, maybe they'll be trimmed a little bit. But for the most part, everyone will get their Social Security. But what you can control are things like when you take it, how long you work, and how much savings you build up. Control what you can control. And that goes back to planning. You can control that. You do it yourself, you hire an advisor like us, whatever. Setting a plan, matching the income needs, meaning your liabilities, that's what your needs are in the future. Their liability. 10 years, you're going to need money if you're retired. And that is going to come from your assets. So how are you going to get that from your assets? Is it income? Is it capital appreciation? Is it the actual cash in your investment accounts? The principal? What is it? How do you develop that plan? That's what you can control. Now, you can't control exactly what equities are going to return, whatever, but you can make reasonable assumptions. And that's what a good plan is. Making reasonable assumptions about inflation, about returns from investments, etc. Not pie in the sky projections, but also not doom scenarios either. Reasonable outcomes. Now, the next Invest Talk, well, we'll have this topic, the forgotten 401k. Are you leaving money on the table? We'll explore how old and abandoned 401ks plans can quietly drain your long-term wealth and what simple steps you can take to track them down and put that money back to work. That story is for tomorrow, but for now, I'm Justin Klein. I'm ready to take your calls right now on Invest Talk at 888-99. You know your business inside and out. Gusto knows payroll, compliance, and benefits as well, so you don't have to. Sounds like a match made in heaven, right? Gusto is online payroll and benefits software built for small businesses. It's all in one, remote friendly, and incredibly easy to use. So you can pay, hire, onboard, and support your team from anywhere. Gusto helps you save time with automated tools built right in. Offer letters, onboarding materials, direct deposit, and more. Automatic payroll tax filing, simple direct deposits, health benefits, commuter benefits, workers' comp, 401k, you name it. Gusto makes it simple and has options for nearly every budget. Get direct access to certified HR experts to help support you through any tough HR situation. It's quick and simple to switch to Gusto. Just transfer your existing data to get up and running fast. Plus, don't pay a cent until you run your first payroll. Try Gusto today at gusto.com/investtalk and get 3 months free when you run your first payroll. That's 3 months of free payroll at gusto.com/investtalk. One more time, gusto.com/investtalk.
The
official numbers are in. Now with 62 million downloads, InvestTalk. Listen live or download the free podcast. Call anytime, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, InvestTalk. I was hoping you guys could answer a couple questions on valuing small cap stocks. Just in the past few years, I've kind of looked at some of the small cap stocks I've owned, and I've noticed that the small cap stocks with like a comparable smaller number of shares outstanding have performed better. And so I'm just curious if you set like a maximum number of shares outstanding when you're screening for them. Another thing is looking at their founding dates. So for example, a company founded 50 plus years ago and it's still a small cap stock, does that mean probably never going to be like a mid or large cap stock and, you know, have, you know, a lower chance for growth potential versus maybe a company founded in the past 20 years. I'm just trying to find new ways to look at these stocks outside of the normal metrics you guys talk about. I mean, those are just ones that I've kind of noticed in my own portfolio that I feel like maybe correlated with better growth potential. So I'm just curious what you guys think about those two things, and I'll listen on the show. Thanks. Bye.
These are all great questions. Yeah, small cap stocks are difficult because they're not large. Because typically they have straightforward businesses. They don't have a diverse revenue stream where they have, you know, a lot of subsidiaries. A lot of large companies, they've grown through acquisition, right? They bought a lot of different companies and they have little subsidiaries. Sometimes they fold them into the bigger brand, et cetera. And they kind of grow inorganically. Some grow organically for sure, but a lot of them build over time and make smart strategic acquisitions. So a lot of small cap names, you know, they've kind of kept their businesses straightforward. I wouldn't say based on number of shares outstanding has really anything to do with it. It's always in relation to their cash flow and their earnings in my mind, because that's what matters the most. I would like to see share counts dropping over time as opposed to increasing. I'll agree with that. But it doesn't necessarily have to be a large amount or a small amount. Once again, it's always in relation to its earnings and cash flow and what its balance sheet looks like. And then when you go into how long a company has been around, you know, I would tend to agree that the longer it's been around, if it's just still a small cap name, it doesn't really have the juice to get into the mid. That's what you're going for, right? You want a small cap. You want to buy it when it's a small cap and hope it grows into a mid cap and eventually maybe even to a larger mega cap. That's the dream, okay? So if they're still stuck there over decades, well, yeah, maybe they just don't have the juice to get there. Now, that doesn't mean they can't ever get there. Usually, though, it takes new leadership, a new way of thinking. Sometimes it's also secular. They can have secular things against them or for them. For example, if you're making baby clothes right now, well, due to domestic birth rates, yeah, the baby market's not that great. Okay, so that's a headwind currently, but that could shift as well. So understand those secular headwinds and tailwinds, and they could just be right in the sweet spot of a positive secular tailwind. I'm trying to think of some of the recent ones. There have been recent ones around AI and AI infrastructure where they're making pennies per share. Now they're making multiples of dollars per share just because of the AI infrastructure boom. So that can happen as well. So it's hard to pinpoint one particular thing that makes small caps different, but really I think it's about leadership and the mindset of growth and the ability to grow. Now, a lot of small caps that are super recent, IPOs, those might be names that probably are overvalued. They might, you know, IPO at, you know, 2, 3, 4 billion, they're a small cap, don't make any money, and they're just going to issue shares into oblivion. And there's many of those as well. So definitely they range in their quality and their investability. And hopefully those thoughts gave you a little perspective on how I'd think about investing in small caps. Now let's play two in a row from 888-99-CHART.
Hey, my name is Margaret. I'm calling from New Jersey. I love your show. I would love to hear your take on WW. It seems like they are possibly heading in the right direction. I just don't know for sure. So if you could give your advice on that stock, it would be greatly appreciated. Take care.
This is Weight Watchers. It's called WW International, but it's Weight Watchers. Now, I have my aunt has been a Weight Watchers coach, I don't know what they call them, for a long time. And Weight Watchers went bankrupt earlier this year and reorganized, and this is them coming out of it with a more sustainable balance sheet, but still, you know, a lot of debt, negative free cash flow. And frankly, Ozempic, right? GLP-1s. These are the new Weight Watchers. Why would you go to meetings and try a diet? And that's what Weight Watchers kind of is it's a diet. And it works if you stick to it. My aunt lost a lot of weight from it back in the day and has kept it off. But like most Americans, they don't want to do the work. They rather just take a pill or have an injection. And ultimately, I think that's the way it's going. I don't see any reason why you would want to invest in Weight Watchers until the GLP-1 fad ends, if it ever does. Let's talk about the $1 trillion pay package that Elon Musk recently was awarded. Now, in the era of inflation and many $1 trillion market cap companies, people just throw around $1 trillion. But I mean, $1 billion is an absurd amount of money, but $1 trillion is well beyond. And it's pretty crazy to think that somebody could get paid that much. Now, it's unlikely he'll get those awards, but you know, Elon's a shrewd guy and he games the system and usually finds a way. But more and more, investors are being blinded, and in awards in the form of stock are becoming viewed differently than actual dollars. But the reality is they aren't. Stock-based compensation has a real impact on shareholder wealth, just like paying a CEO $1 trillion in cash, even if they don't have it. They're just getting it from you, the shareholder, diluting you, the shareholder, reducing your share of future profits. Bottom line. And Tesla's not the first or last to pay or to issue a ton of stock to pay shareholders, to pay leaders and workers. You look at companies like Snowflake. In September, they said they delivered another strong quarter, operating profits of $128 million and 11% margin. But that was without stock-based compensation. If you add in stock-based compensation, they lost $340 million. So no, there was not a gain for you, the shareholder. There was dilution with an operating margin of a negative 30%. Then you look at companies like Snap. Snap has been a terrible investment, Snapchat, for a long time now. And a lot of it has to do with stock-based compensation. 2024, adjusted EBITDA was $509 million. That's adjusted EBITDA. But their actual profit was negative, nearly $700 million. Because there was $1 billion of stock-based compensation. Then you look at companies like Lyft, said that they had adjusted EBITDA that was three times their actual earnings, because when you take back stock-based compensation, their earnings drop, or their EBITDA drops by 2/3. Many companies are doing this. Now, a lot of companies, to be fair, they issue shares and then they buy back those shares in the market. So they sterilize that issuance. Now, what does that do? Why do they do that? Because net-net, that doesn't affect shareholders. It's but what it does do is makes it look like their cash flow from their free cash flow is better than it actually is. Because buybacks are not calculated in free cash flow. But paying workers and CEOs actual cash is part of that calculation. So in some ways, kind of cooking the books in a way. Now, this is very common for young companies, tech companies, biotech companies, really dangling that dream. And I think for young companies, it makes sense. You track the top talent, say, I'm giving you shares, giving you a piece of this company. And when we go from very little of what we have today to maybe going IPO or becoming a large corporation, you will get a piece and you'll be very wealthy. And I think that makes sense. But for companies that have been public for many years and some many decades, it really is financial shenanigans in my book. They're just trying to exclude cash costs. So EBITDA numbers look better. Free cash flow numbers look better. But the reality is this is an expense to you, the shareholder. So they're bringing in so much money and they're doing so well. Maybe they should just pay it out and be more honest with the market and their shareholders. There comes another question from the InvestTalk Voice Bank. You know the number. It's 888-99-CHART.
Hi, this is Adrian calling from Texas. And I wanted your thoughts on ticker symbol DOX. I picked this up on Fidelity, holding it for a short to midterm hold. Wanted your thoughts on it. Thank you.
Looking at Amdox, DOX is the symbol. It is a software company that services the communication, entertainment, and media industries. And it is in a downtrend. Its relative strength is only 22. 22. That is not good. Now, earnings supposed to be $7.45 this year. That's up 7% from last year. And then $8.07 next year, up 8%. But those estimates are coming down. And its 52-week high is up around $95 per share. Now we're at $75. So it's down 21% from its 52-week high. Last quarter, revenues were down 9%, even with earnings up. You don't really like to see that. And if you look at its balance sheet, it's pretty clean, only about less than $1 billion in debt. Free cash flow, $645 million. That's pretty steady, but you know, I don't like the deterioration in the profitability. Okay. So that worries me a bit. I don't like this downturn. I want to line up the fundamental picture with the chart. I want the market agreeing with me. And right now the market is not agreeing that this is a good investment. Now, what I will say is they're buying back shares, good free cash flow yield, good balance sheet, relatively cheap. But where's the beef here? What is the problem? Why are analysts downgrading earnings? Why is it down 20% from its 52-week high? There's nothing technically strong about this at all. So it remains a name that I would keep on my watch list for a turnaround. And I need something telling me why it will turn around. Is this an AI disruption story? That's potentially it. I don't know enough about Amdox particularly, but I'm just looking at the surface about the business as well as the trends. The business looks decent, not amazing, but decent at reasonable valuations, but I need the chart to turn around. Until then, I'm passing on it. That was DOX. Now let's squeeze in one more question.
Hi, I have a large position in Fannie Mae, FNMA. And I was wondering how long I should hold it or when would be a good time to sell. Anyway, I appreciate your advice. Thank you.
All right, looking at Fannie Mae. And this is in the mortgage market, government sponsored. And I know that President Trump has talked about privatizing Fannie and Freddie and combining them. I think that's a possibility. This is really a story about how the government is going to deal with Fannie and Freddie. Really, since the financial crisis, I believe the government's been taking their profits based on the bailout of 08. And you know, this is a good example of the chart is telling you the opposite of what Amdox was saying. This has been going up and it's still in an uptrend. Now, recently, it's starting to look like it could break trend. So if you held it for a while, I would be trimming it due to the signal strength here, which is not as strong as it's been really since the Trump election. And that's really why I think what this is. If you go look, this has been was chopping sideways until the election night, and it moved from $1.44 the next day all the way up to nearly $2 per share. Now it moved recently at a high around 15 and change. Now it's at 9 and change. So this is just a story about what is this administration going to do with Fannie and Freddie. And if they privatize it, it will continue to go up. If they don't, well, I think that this will return back to low single digits. So very, very high risk. So I would be trimming it at this point. That was Invest Talk. I'm Justin Klein. We have one goal each and every weekday is to help you achieve your own version of financial freedom. And our work continues after this final break. So get your questions in right now at 888-99-CHART.
Have you heard about InvestTalk Innovators? It's available now free on the InvestTalk YouTube channel. Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero interview company leaders, founders, and visionaries. So head over to the InvestTalk YouTube channel and look for InvestTalk Innovators.
Let's talk about social media. We haven't talked about this in a while, but did you know that social media use actually peaked in 2022? And there's some changes afoot within the industry as a whole, especially now that social media, it's not a new thing anymore. It used to be cool and hip. It used to be what the young people did. And, you know, still young people are in TikTok. But overall, social media encompasses a lot of platforms. And it used to be all about followers, but an account can have a lot of followers for a couple of reasons. It can be they started early on and they just gathered a lot of followers and most people didn't unfollow them, but they're no longer really relevant, but they still have a lot of followers. Or they got their followers from bots or dead profiles or people that hate them that just follow them and don't really like who they are. That can happen as well. And usually you see this with low engagement. So they might have hundreds of thousands, if not millions of followers, but their posts get a couple hundred likes. Not a lot of engagement. So large numbers don't quite mean what they used to. It's not a signal that you have relevance or clout because things are more manipulable. Manipulatable. There we go. Manipulable. There we go. That's the word. And even AI. You know, you can post things and get followers and game the system. And so what's starting to emerge is that not a lot of followers is starting to become kind of cool. You're undiscovered. So when did this happen? When did this you lose a lot of appeal of having a lot of followers? This is really post-pandemic. During COVID, everybody was on their phones, following new people, and everybody got a lot of followers. But now people are relying on their algorithm to give them what they want, unfortunately. And getting a big audience is no longer that hard. It's easy to kind of game the system as long as you can hit the algorithm. Now more and more people are congregating around YouTube channels, Patreon, things like that, devoted audiences. Now, when was the last time you trimmed your Facebook followers or Instagram followers or X followers or TikTok follows, right? Who you follow. And so a lot of followers doesn't really apply. And more people are getting off the main platforms. Because more and more, those platforms are less social. They're actually antisocial. And they're more just ways for people to sell their business, their subscription newsletter, their cryptocurrency pyramid scheme, or some referral link. Social media is no longer social. And if you have a modest online profile, well, it shows that maybe you spend more time in the real world than online. And so that's becoming kind of cool. Not having social media. So what does that mean for the Metas of the world? What does that mean for the value of TikTok? What does that mean for X or Twitter? I think this is not discussed enough. Not only the changes in attitude towards social media, which is the way social media works nowadays. So I wanted to bring that up because no one's talking about it, but it is a thing. I'm Justin Klein. If today's show made you think about your own financial picture in any way, your investments, taxes, retirement, and whether it's all really working for you, I encourage you to head over to investtalk.com and schedule a free portfolio review with myself or Luke. Help bring confidence and clarity to your own personal situation. Please remember to tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you can find anytime at iTunes or Spotify, as well as our YouTube channel. And be sure to rate and review on iTunes as well. Quick reminder, our newest Invest Talk Wealth webinar is set for December 9th, happening online. It's free, but you need to pre-register over at investtalk.com. Independent thinking, shared success. It's Invest Talk. Good night.
Invest Talk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.